Oh, wow. Well, 8 years in the making. I've come to know Diane very well. There's a group of us that go out once a month. It's called the Lonely Hearts Club. We go out and eat. Well, we eat after we finish crying. But we have a great time. And over the years, I've got to know her well. She's a Harley lover, just like I am. Harley rider. Her disability is because she was in a Harley accident. And we're just so thankful that the Lord spared you in that case, Diane. But she's more than all that, she's been a light to us, right? A help. I just don't have the words, I guess, you know. But you've been a real blessing to me, and I know you're a blessing to the congregation. And Bruce, yes, go ahead. The one thing about New Life is this, is we allow people to be who they are. We're not here to change anybody. I can't change you, and you definitely can't change me. All right? But we have one thing in common, and that's our love for the Lord. And Diane is here to share her testimony and her love for the Lord. And some of you might be surprised by her testimony. I won't be. Will I? I've heard it. I've heard it. It's a powerful testimony. So I just ask that you just keep your ear open. Listen to this powerful testimony as the Lord uses her. She was hoping she'd come up last. She says, I need time to get the butterflies out. They're gone. I like those sneakers, Diane. They're bright. Come on up, sister. I love this woman. Give her a hand. God bless you, Diane. Thank you so much.
I've been praying about where to start with this. And, well, let's see. I was born at 1:40 a.m. Just kidding. No, I'll start. When I was 15 years old, I was invited to a teen event at Good News Chapel. And I went there and watched a movie and met a bunch of teenagers. And then I heard the story about Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross for us. And I was taken. I was saved that night, accepted the Lord as my Savior that night. And then a few years later, there was a split up in my church that I was going to. That I met all these friends, and then all of a sudden, half of them were gone. Half of them were still there. And I was confused because I had no idea why. So I started going to two different churches back and forth so I would see my friends at the meeting back and forth also. Well, then one day one of the pastors pulled me aside when I was at his house with visiting his kids. And he says, you know, you need to make a choice who you're going to serve and where you're going to be fed. Well, being a young Christian, I didn't understand what that meant. And it kind of upset me that he said it to me. So I'm like, well, in that case, why don't I just not go to church at all? So I stopped going to church, although I still prayed and I still read my Bible and stuff. I wasn't getting fed anywhere. But then a few years later, there was some tragedy in my life. And I was praying to the Lord for a miracle. And with all my heart, I knew he could do a miracle. And I was praying that he would, but he didn't. Because I don't know the reasoning behind that. Nobody does. But he didn't. So at that point, being immature and not knowing why and all that stuff, I was like, you know what? Why do I even bother talking to you? Forget it. So I just walked away from God completely and started living my life the way I wanted to live it, did what I wanted to do without talking to him or anything. Eventually, I got married, and I moved to Arizona, and was working out there. My husband and I built a house and had good jobs and motorcycles and all that fun stuff. And I was living my life my way. Every now and then I could feel the God prompting me to do what was right, which I was used to hearing his voice. So I could feel him talking to me. Sometimes I listened, sometimes I wouldn't. Most of the time I wouldn't. And then one day when I was 41 years old, I woke up in a hospital room, not knowing why. My husband was sitting there, and I looked at him. I said, what's going on? He says, you don't remember? I said, no. He says, you were in a really bad accident. You've been in the hospital for about a month. It's like, oh, okay. So I said, well, how's my leather? The most important thing, right? My chaps and my jacket. He says, well, you didn't have it on that day, so you were all right. They're all right. I said, okay. So then I went through rehab and all that stuff. I ended up being in the hospital for 2 months, two different hospitals for 2 months at the whole time for therapy, learning how to walk and talk and eat and think and all that good stuff over again. Well, I still got this hand don't want to work, but that's all right. It's the only thing that's wrong, really, except for the brain not working sometimes. Most of the time it does, but once in a while it doesn't. But that's all right. So then, after I got out of the hospital, I started letting fear run me. Everybody know what fear means? F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Well, for some reason, I was letting that rule me and not my heart and stuff. So with that fear, I ended up leaving my husband and divorcing him. And then it was a full year before my brain completely healed to what was my normal, whatever that was. So after that year, I realized the mistake I made. But at that point, it was too late. So, and I, when I left him, I was moving from house to house and friends to friends and stuff. And at the end, I was living with some friends, and I started feeling like, you know what? There's a reason why God left me here, why he saved me that day and let me live. I should go find out what it is. So I started searching for a church, and I found Church in the Wind. It was a biker-based church. Everybody there was bikers. The pastor was a reformed biker, what do you call them, one percenters, you know, the mean ones. So I fit right in. It was really good. I fit right in there. So I started going to that church and started learning and meeting new friends, and I gave my life back to the Lord that when I first went there after a few meetings. Thank you. Yeah. For once, I made the right decision. So then after a while, I had to move again. So I moved in. I was invited to move into the assistant pastor's house with his family. So I was living with them, and not knowing where I was going to go into next. I was thinking about doing volunteer work, so I was looking into doing that, and I was studying my Bible and everything and helping out around their house. And then one day they told me that they needed the room that I was living in. So I was like, okay, now I got to find another place to live. So my older brother told me, find a house that we can share, and I'll split rent with you. So I started looking for something. I couldn't find anything that would work for both of us. Nothing was happening. And I was getting frustrated because I was on a time limit. So one night I went to bed and I was praying. I'm like, you know what, God? I read these stories in your Bible about how you talk to Moses and how you talk to Isaac and all these people, you know. I need you to talk to me now because I have no clue what to do. So I fell asleep praying. And about 2:30 in the morning, I woke up with a start and it's like, go home and take care of your grandma. And I knew that was not, coming home was not a thought in my brain, so I knew it was him telling me that. So I thought, all right, I'll do that. So I talked to my mom the next day, and I told her that I was coming home, take care of my grandmother. And she says, well, your grandmother just asked your brother if he had room at his house for her. She's moving there. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm okay then. So I got off the phone with her, and I'm like, see, God, everything's cool up there in Maine. I don't have to go. So I started going back looking for a place to live, still couldn't find nothing. I could not find a thing. All the doors were just slamming. Because I had two dogs, so I had to find a place that would allow the dogs. This was the problem. So I wasn't getting nothing. So one night I went to Bible study at church, and after Bible study I was praying, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And again he says to me, I told you to go home and take care of your grandma. I gave up. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm going. I'm going. I'll give in. I'm going. But please make it temporary. So I started making the plans to come back here. And I came back almost 8 years ago and took care of my grandma for as long as I could, as best I could. And I know eventually we had to put her in a nursing home down the road here because I just couldn't take care of her anymore. It was just got to be too much. But I know Pastor came and prayed with us one night when she was getting close to the end. And I know that night or the next day, all the years that I've spoke to her about Jesus and everything I've given her to read, I knew that she finally heard that night because she passed the next day. And I never saw her so peaceful in my whole life. The look on her face was pure peace. So I knew she was with Jesus. It was awesome. So now I get to go back to Arizona. He made it temporary for me, thankfully. We were supposed to go next year, but then all of a sudden all these things happened that it was like, oh, we can go this year instead. So I was like, thank you, Lord. A year earlier than we expected, and everything's all lined up down there. So God is good. And what I would like to leave with all of you that have blessed me while I've been here is that know that the Bible is true. Amen. Every word of it, not just pieces of it. Every word of it is true. Believe that. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for us because God loved us so much he sent Jesus. Please believe that with all your heart. And never give up. Never give up on God, because even though I gave up on him, he never gave up on me. Never. Thanks.